Okay, pastors, lesson 4, page 36. I'm not going to read Ephesians 4. We've read that quite a bit. I've mentioned before there's not even one pastor named in the New Testament, but there are many principles and scriptures in both Testaments that let us see what a pastor does. As with all the fivefold ministries, God has given grace to individuals to function in a certain capacity. These are not positions that you desire to attain. It's a grace that's given. So what's the definition of a pastor? The Greek definition, a herdsman, especially a shepherd, metaphorically the presiding officer, manager, director of any assembly, one who generally cares for flocks, one who herds sheep, shepherd, sheep herder, one who serves as guardian or leader. The Hebrew definition you're going to see is pretty close. To tend a flock, pasture it, generally to rule, to pasture, to tend, to graze, to feed, to shepherd, used of a ruler, used of a teacher. It means in general to care for, protect, graze, feed flocks and herds. So we pretty much get an idea of the pastor, the shepherd, from a lot of Old Testament principles, as well as the ones we see in the New Testament. And the reason God just has this analogy throughout Scripture, because he's talking about the shepherds, the ones that are over him, because he looks at his people as a flock. Psalm 103, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God, he's made us, and not we ourselves, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture." In Matthew 9:36, Jesus saw the multitudes. He was moved with compassion because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. And 1 Peter 2:25, "For you were as sheep going astray, but are now returned to the shepherd and bishop of your soul." So we're God's sheep. So God is our shepherd, but he's also given shepherds, under shepherds, that will work with him to take care of his flock. In Psalm 23, it says, "Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters." That means he takes you up by the baptismal. "He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever." In Psalm 80, verse 1, "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you that lead Joseph like a flock, you that dwell between the cherubim, shine forth." And then finally, Isaiah 40, verse 10, "Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, his work before him. He'll feed his flock like a shepherd. He'll gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young." I know we're familiar with Psalm 23, but I believe many of those attributes also come about through his shepherding ministry of the pastors. Being able to go to get pasture, leading beside the still waters, a restoration taking place in your life because of the Word of God just being brought forth and you're being fed properly. Through troublesome times, walking through the valley of shadow of death, you've been instructed, you've been comforted, you know who's walking with you because your shepherd has caused you to see that the living God is right there with you, even in your darkest hour. And yeah, it might be tough, but it says you won't fear the evil. And we know that the Great Shepherd is always with us. And that just blows me away when I read, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." It's like, hey, sit down and have some lunch, son. Enemies all around you, he's saying, come here, just sit down. I got you taken care of here. Even in this troublesome time, I'm setting a table for you. So many of these things that God does, he replicates in a certain degree and fashion through the natural shepherds. The sheep won't lack, green pastures, still waters, restoration, no fear, table, confidence in the Lord, and the young are gently led. And God actually just carries them, they're his. Now in Numbers 27, Moses spoke unto the Lord, saying, "Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, which may go in before them, which may lead them out, which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep, which have no shepherd." And 1 Kings 22:17, and he said, "I saw all Israel scattered on the hills as sheep that have not a shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return every man to his house in peace." Sheep without a shepherd are scattered. They're easy prey for the enemy. And Moses didn't want the children of Israel to be left as sheep when it was his time to die, and God gave him a charge. Have him give a charge to Joshua. He said, "I need somebody who will take my place so that people can see how he goes in and goes out so they'll be able to follow." Because no matter what we think about it, sheep are not the smartest animals at all times. And we're all his sheep. I'm a sheep too. And there's times when he has to take his rod and crack me with it or grab a hold of me and say, "Get back here." Maybe a few times break my leg to teach me just to stay put. But sheep are not always smart. You can talk to Diane Klingelhofer. She raised sheep. Because when I preached that message on Bosco and Poimino, she talked to me afterwards, and she was sharing with me about the sheep. And they're not always the smartest. They need to be led. And that's, God sees that. Jesus saw it. I believe we see it, that there needs to be good shepherding taking place. And we'll see other principles where it talks about, you know, obeying them that have the rule over you. You see their lifestyle so that you can follow. You have an example to be encouraged in. I'm not reading through all of this in Ezekiel 34. The bold and italics parts are the good parts. That's what the shepherd should be doing. The underlined parts are the things that they weren't doing, and most of them are the exact opposite. So we'll just read the positive on what a shepherd should do. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Yes, so there's feeding involved. Then he says, "Behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out." Looking for them, making sure that they're taken care of. As a shepherd seeks out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they've been scattered. I will feed them. There shall they lie in a good fold. I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away, bind up that which was broken and strengthen that which was sick. Those are things that a shepherd should be doing. Now, on this page, on page 39 in Ezekiel 34, verse 18, I'm going to start there. Because he's talking about the flock. Seems it a small thing to you to have eaten up the good pasture, but must ye tread down with your feet? Well, right on the bottom of the other page it says, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle. So what he's saying here, he's talking to the herd, the flock. He says, does it seem a small thing that you've eaten up the good pasture, that you got to tread down with your feet the residue of the pasture? Say, well, I'm getting this feeding now. Nobody else needs to get it. Must you foul the residue with your feet after you've drunken of the deep waters? They eat, as for my flock, they eat that which you've trodden with your feet, and they drink that which you've fouled with your feet. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will judge between the fat cattle and the lean cattle, because you have thrust with side and shoulder and pushed all the disease with your horns. To me, this reminds me of 1 Corinthians 11. He says, don't you have houses to eat and drink in? You've got some people that don't have food, and you're just eating and gorging yourself in front of them. You're not considering the other members of the body. And that's what he's saying, that when even among the herd, the stronger flock are running roughshod over the weaker ones, not having care, not having concern, not caring if you offend. A shepherd has to watch for that too and deal with it, because it happens. How many know pride can really get you going, and offenses can really bring some sparks, and people can always feel I'm right, he's wrong. You get two people talking together, it's like, he's the one that's wrong. It's like, let's just talk this out. Throwing daggers at each other. Well, if a shepherd lets that go on in the flock, it is going to be wild before very long. So that's another thing that the shepherd has to watch for, is how are the sheep just treating each other? Are the strong? In Romans 14, we that are strong should bear the infirmities of the weak, not offending them, saying, oh, you don't eat meat, you're a wimp. Bible says you can eat meat. Watch this. See this whopper? And you can run roughshod over people's feelings that you think, they should just get over that. And realistically, it's an issue that Jesus has to deal with in their heart, not you. And so you could be offending and hurting people. You could be using your liberty, as it says in Corinthians, to eat meat offered to an idol. It doesn't bother you, but somebody else sees it, and now they think, oh, he can do it, I can do it, and then their conscience is all messed up. Well, you're running roughshod and not considering that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's righteousness, peace, and joy. And so the shepherd is looking for that. What's taking place in the body? How are the sheep reacting? You know, a shepherd watching his fold doesn't just sit there and doze off under the tree. I mean, you see the sheep start milling around, and it's like, okay, what's going on? Something's going on over there. This is not how they should be acting. And they're watching for it. And that's a good thing. Believe you me, it's a good thing. Okay, I think that's all I wanted out of that. That was Romans 15, 1, not 14. Bearing the infirmities of the weak. In Jeremiah 23, again, the underlying part, you've scattered my flock, you've driven them away, you haven't visited them. In verse 4, he says, I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them. They'll fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, says the Lord. I really like that portion of Scripture. Because when God sets up his people over the flock, they're fed, no more fear, no more dismay, and they won't be lacking. Overall, the flock does real well because they're getting what they need. Psalm 78, verse 72, talking about David. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hands. The words fed them are the same words describing with shepherds. David shepherded them with integrity of heart and skillfulness of hands. All right, can you have integrity and no skill? Yeah, but you still have problems that way. Can you have skill and no integrity? Yeah, you still got problems. They got to be fed with integrity and skillfulness. And what happens then, that you've got some happy sheep. In Jeremiah 3:15, it says, I'll give you pastors according to my heart, which will feed you with knowledge and understanding. So that's part of the skill set of the shepherd, feeding with knowledge and understanding. So that means more than just a salvation message in 52 different ways. There has to be ministry and feeding because you've got people in the flock that are 30 years old in the Lord, and you've got them that are a week old in the Lord. Everybody needs some feeding. The older ones should be able to still get feeding and encouragement even off a simpler message. But there also has to be times of ministry where it reaches the older sheep that maybe goes over some of the younger ones. And you try and keep it mixed as much as possible. But you know the old saying, you can never make everybody happy at the same time. It's just difficult. But if everybody has their heart focused on the fact that, okay, this is the Word of God, and you ask the Lord saying, Lord, show me something new, even though I think this sermon might be something that I'm familiar with, open my eyes to something new. Right. Give me something to grab a hold of that's just different, unique. I believe if you ask him to do that, that he will give you, whether it's a bunny trail off of what's being ministered or a greater insight, a different facet of the ministry that you're hearing, that you can receive something. Because I don't believe the Holy Spirit just calls us to come in and sit and get nothing out of the service because we say, oh, that was just basic foundation. I already know that stuff. I cannot tell you how many times in my 30-some years in the Lord I've gone over basic foundations. I've just taught it again. And you know what? I will keep reading them over and over because I want to keep them in my heart and mind when somebody comes along that stuff is fresh. And so, it doesn't get old. In fact, going back and looking at some of that stuff, water baptism, to me, it seems to just get broader every time I look at it. It's like, I mean, is that all really happening in that? Like, that's unbelievable. And then it's a basic foundation. And I think, well, what's the meat going to be like if that's a basic foundation? So hang in there and don't let your mind go, eh. Okay, I got my comic book inside my Bible and and squared away. I believe the Spirit of God, if you have an open heart, will be speaking to you. Otherwise, week after week, I mean, you know, sometimes we sing some of the same songs a couple. You go, oh, that's so boring. Or you can just be there in the presence of God singing it to Him and being touched by Him. It's not the repeat of the words. I could sing, we come into your presence, come into your holiness. I can picture that all the time. I'm getting choked up right now just thinking about it, because Sunday, I could see myself sitting on the mercy seat with my legs dangling. I know it seems improper to be sitting on the mercy seat. But it's almost like I just wanted to have my hands on the wings, on the cherubims. And man, when you're looking out this way, it's different. I thought, I'm under the shadow of His wings. Well, we sing those songs different times. Well, it's new every time, because it's a new day. Otherwise, you could kiss your wife once now and say, well, that's good for 50 years. No, it's new every day. God's faithfulness is new every day. His love is poured out on us in a fresh way. We're the ones who put it in a stagnant box. Don't let your heart be stagnant when you're hearing the feeding. Just say, Lord, I'm open to hear that new thing, that thing that you're going to just quicken in my heart. Okay, I'm going to go through the summary and then we'll take a break. God Himself is a shepherd. He still shepherds His flock by watching what His earthly shepherds are doing. And He deals with them too. In fact, they have a greater judgment. Sheep need to be fed from good pastures. I don't know. When we grew up in the Lord, it was you search out the Word of God and you learn to do it, to get fresh food. I have a hard time taking somebody else's book and teaching it. That's just the way I grew up in the Lord. I'd rather reinvent the wheel by investing my time to study that thing out, because by studying it, I actually have to find more things than I ever give out. And so that thing is much broader in my heart than if I'm just reading it. And I like fresh words. I like studying it. Sometimes it's a challenge and a pain, because you run into things like, okay, that one's real weird. How am I going to explain that? And then you got to go on a bunny trail to try and find answers for it. But overall, I really like doing that, because it's pleasing to find treasures in God's Word to give to other people. So they need to be fed from good pastures. The sheep need to be led to a place of rest and some still waters to drink from. The end result is restoration of the flock, no fear. They're not scattered. The shepherd will seek out the lost and the ones that do scatter. Bind up the broken ones, strengthen the sick, watch over what the flock's doing to one another, feed them with integrity of heart and skillfulness of hands. Knowledge and understanding of God, His Word, and His ways is what the shepherd is feeding the flock. They won't lack and they won't be dismayed under a good shepherd. Why don't we go ahead and just take a break right now and come back at 7 o'clock. Should I turn this off? Okay.